I appreciate the songs this evening. My testimony is that I'm still in the battle. Been knocked down a few times, fallen down a few times, but I'm still in the race this evening. The Lord has been very good to me, and I know most of us can say that here tonight. What would you rather be tonight? What would you rather be doing? What would you rather be living for and serving? Isn't the Lord good tonight? The Lord is so good to His people. There is no love like the Lord's love. There's a lot of attractions in the world. There's a lot of things that get people's attention. But I'm thankful tonight to be able to know the Lord, have Him in my heart and my life. I wouldn't want that replaced with anything else, because nothing else can fill that place like the Lord can. I desire an interest in your prayers this evening as we look into some scriptures. I want to start out by saying I'm not a Revelation expert, but I feel like I have a burden to start out in the book of Revelations tonight. And perhaps maybe if you haven't heard some of these thoughts before, pray that you would give them some thought and consideration, pray about them. I'd like to start out in the book Revelations, the 16th chapter. And I'd like to read verses 13 and 14. Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14. This is under the sixth angel, the sixth vial. It said, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." I want to now look in the book of Revelations, the 12th chapter. I want to talk about the dragon for a little bit. He said he saw them and there were three unclean spirits. Here we have a picture. It starts out by bringing about the appearance of a woman. This is not a wonder that we're going to see. A lot of times people try to literalize Revelations. And they concoct all these different things, dragons and beasts and all the weird things that they suppose it's going to happen towards the end of time. This is symbolic language describing what was happening in the ecclesiastical heavens, in the spiritual realm, what was taking place at that time. Now he mentioned the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This represents the early morning church. The 12 stars represents the apostles. The moon at her feet was the early morning church, had the girding of the law and the prophets that were given before. And it represents the early morning church. And it says that she was in travail to bring forth a man-child. And it said the dragon was there to consume the man-child, to try to get the man-child as soon as the man-child was born. We know that when the early morning church was started, the day of Pentecost had come, the Spirit of God had come, they started preaching the gospel of Christ. There was great... The dragon was there to consume the early morning church. And it's representative of paganism. Paganism was the Roman Empire at that time. The Roman Empire persecuted the early morning church. You can read in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, thousands, millions of the children of God lost their lives at that time. That was the dragon power. It was paganism. It was false religion. Sometimes it's hard for us to visualize probably what took place. We are in a country of security. We have a lot of protection from the government, the laws of our land. We have police forces that try to maintain justice and liberty and law and order. It was the very government, folks. They didn't have no one to turn to besides God. They didn't have the government to step in to protect them. It was the government, paganism, the Roman Empire that persecuted the early morning church. And she was with travail. You remember she brought forth a man-child that brought forth a host. There were thousands that were saved and being born again. The kingdom of God was booming in the earth. And the dragon was right there to consume, to destroy. And they suffered great persecution at the hand of Rome. History books is very evident tonight that they were thrown in the arenas to the lions' dens. They were devoured. They were burnt at the stake. Nero, one of the most bloodiest persecutions, came under the hand of Nero. Lots of lives were lost for the cause of Christ because people had found something better. The dragon tonight represents paganism. It represented pagan power, heathen worship, heathen gods. I want to go on a little bit further now, and it talked about the man-child being caught up into heaven, which represents those that lost their lives that we mentioned. Those that had given their lives, it was like it was caught up into heaven. And it also mentioned that there was a place prepared in the wilderness for her. But let's go on down to Revelations, the 13th chapter. I would like to look at the beast. In the first verse it said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns." You notice the dragon had seven heads and ten horns. Well, the beast does also, and that has significance for us this evening. And it says, "And upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear." Now it is said that this dragon gave his seat and his authority to the beast, that he exercised the same authority. He took his seat, the seat of the dragon. History tells us, you remember at that time, that Christianity supposedly became the known religion, but it was the Roman papacy that grew out of that, that began to take the same... Rome was a world power. There was no power that stood up to Rome, pagan Rome. When it began to come down, it transferred its power and its authority to papal Rome, the Catholic Church, the papacy. There was great persecution. It said he gave him power to overcome the saints. There have been a lot of the children of God that lost their lives under the papacy. In the first, the 12th chapter of Revelations, where we was talking about, it said the church went into the wilderness. The true people of God went into seclusion. You read in your history books. I remember reading in history books about the Dark Ages. That was the time when the children of God worshipped in the catacombs. They were in hiding. They couldn't meet out in secret for fear of their lives. because the beast was persecuting. The dragon gave the beast power. It had the seven heads, the same power. Rome had seven hills that it operated from. It had ten authority in its government. And it came out of the dragon. It had the same authority. And it had great power. Folks, did you realize tonight that the papacy at one time, they put kings in place. They ruled the nations. They controlled. They could have kings removed. They could have whoever they wanted in control and ruled. That's who they had ruled. They had great horns, represents many times in the Scripture civil authority, government. That's what they had. It was the papacy, the church, the Roman Catholic Church that had that power and that authority. And they persecuted the true believers of Christ. Those that would not accept that religion, those that would not bow down to its gods and to its idols, they were beheaded. They were persecuted. They were burned at the stake. And history is very evident. This is not something I believe you've heard this. You've known this. But I feel burdened tonight to bring it back to our mind and back to our attention. Because I feel it has significance for you and I in our day. This is not just a good history lesson. It has significance in our day and our time. The Scripture that we started out with started talking about, it said the dragon. There's a revision of paganism and the beast, Catholicism. Now I want to go on and talk about the other beast. Revelations, I believe it's the 13th chapter and the 11th verse. It said, "And I beheld another beast coming out up of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. And he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark." There was another beast that he saw. And this is speaking of the time of the Protestant era. It said he caused great fire to come down from heaven. There was a time when there was some great revivals that were taking place. But you know, as it went on, the Protestant church had power to take lives also. You'll read in history that Protestants were fighting in a carnal way. They were taking the lives of those that didn't believe like them. I don't believe the Lord was ever interested in carnal warfare. That's not. And the world tonight seems like they're looking for a literal battle, a carnal warfare that the people of God are going to be involved in. And that's not it at all tonight. It's a spiritual battle that's taking place tonight. That's happening. These wonders we're not going to see. The Scripture in Genesis said, "Seed time and harvest, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest will continue." There's not going to be some great mystic thing that's going to appear and help us to see, well, the Lord is getting close now. These are spiritual things that are taking place that have happened in time. And they're happening now. And what happened was, it seemed like they got light. They got understanding. But as they stopped, they created an image to the beast. And they began to worship the beast. Because they failed to continue in that light, to continue in truth. And it said they made an image so that they should worship the beast. They made an image to the beast when they failed to walk in truth. Well, folks, that challenges me tonight. It's very vital, important that you and I walk in light and in truth. Because if we fail to, we begin to take a mark. We begin to get a spiritual name, a spiritual mark. And tonight we want, the only mark we want to have is God in our hearts and our lives. The scripture that I started out with was talking about out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, which was that last beast that was spoken of. He said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Tonight I want to talk to us a little bit about seductive spirits this evening. Folks, we are living in perilous times, spiritually speaking. We're not only facing the dragon, we're facing also the beast and also the false prophet. All three. I don't know if you've noticed so much in our country, but I've noticed our country is becoming heathen. Our country is going into heathenism, pagan practices. It's alive, the music. It's seen in the music, in the body piercings, in the tattoos. Those things are pagan. And it's being revived and revitalized in our country. I read an article not too long ago in the Reader's Digest about the growth of Catholicism. It's not just a dead movement. They're picking up in numbers. They're growing in strength in numbers. And we also know about false religion today, false Christianity. All around us, folks. And it's very important for us to recognize the battle that we're in. There's a lot of seductive spirits that are in the world tonight that are wanting to seduce the people of God. I want to get another scripture now in the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter. Book of 1 John, the 4th chapter. And the first verse, he said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is it already in the world. He said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Test the spirit to see whether they're of God, whether they're not. He said, Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. This confession tonight is not a mouth confession. It is not just saying that I am a child of God, I'm saved. You remember Jesus mentioned in one place, He said, They'll come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty miracles? Have we not done many mighty works in Your name? And He said, Depart from me, for I don't know who You are. I am not acquainted with You, even though this is not talking about a profession. The confess here means to show forth. To be able to show forth out of the fruit of a person's life, their relationship, whether they know God or whether they don't know God. Folks, it goes beyond just what is said tonight. There are a lot of good things being said out in the world. There are a lot of good things being said out in religion. You can go to a lot of places tonight and you can walk away from there feeling good, feeling lifted up in your mind and your emotions, and they don't have God. They don't have God. Many, and I'm not saying up here, folks, we are the only ones who are saved. I don't believe that tonight. I believe God has a remnant of people that are scattered here and there, but I believe they have the fruit of the Spirit in their life. And it's holiness unto the Lord. It's righteousness. It's living honestly with God. It's having a personal relationship with God to where they're able to hear His voice and to know Him. There's great deception. In the religious world today, people go to different places and they get entertained. And they come away from there on an emotional high, feeling good. Folks, God is not interested in entertainment tonight. Amen. We're not interested in entertaining. People are going many times to hear the music and the concerts, to see the screens flashed, and to see the... worship people, like special groups they bring in that can sing and play the guitars and things. Folks, the Lord is not interested in entertainment tonight. The gospel is more than entertainment. It's not meant to entertain us. When we come to the service of the Lord, we should come with a desire and a heart. Lord, I want truth. I want to know the truth. I want to know You better. I want to worship You. I want to serve You. I want to give my life and my heart to You. Not just come here to be seen. Not just come here through a form or through a routine. Folks, we're living in perilous times tonight. Spirits are very, very seductive. A lot of people say a lot of good things. And all of it's not bad. But I thought about the Scripture Jesus told there in... when He was talking to the disciples, people, He said, all that the Pharisees, they're sitting in Moses' seat. What they tell you to do, you do it. But He said, don't do their works. Don't follow their pattern of life. Don't fit in with their way of life. There has to be a difference in the way that we live our lives than the way the world lives their lives. Folks, we just can't fit in with everything that the world has to offer tonight. And I feel that's where many times the dangerous spirits are seductive. It's pictured, false religion, Babylon was pictured as a harlot. A harlot wears seductive clothes with a desire to attend, get someone's attention, to attract, to draw, to pull in. Seduce, the two words seduce, the prefix S-E means to draw, to set apart. And the last part of that means to lead. That's a seduce means to lead apart. To get us away from our relationship with God and where He wants us to be with that, with Him. A lot of spirits in the world tonight. Paganism, Catholicism, false Christianity. Folks, do we see where our battle's at tonight? It's taking place tonight. People are being deceived by the multitudes. People are being taken in by so much false religion that don't know. They don't know what it means to be born again. They don't know what it means to have their sins forgiven and have a new life. They go through... I remember going through a church one time when I was a teenager. And I walked away there many times feeling good because of the emotion they promoted. They never taught me to repent. They never taught me to seek God, make restitutions, and get my life in accordance with the Scripture. They were concerned about the entertaining part. Folks, there's more to it than that tonight. And these things are alive in our world today and they seduce people. People's minds get on those things instead of upon God. And they feel so justified. And so many people don't really know what it means to really serve the Lord. To have God to speak to them personally. To have some personal convictions of their own. They begin when they begin to just fit in. And there's a challenge for us tonight not to just fit in. We need some personal convictions of our own. We've got to be acquainted with God and have that still small voice speaking to us. It's not safe enough just to be a part of the saints tonight. It's not safe enough just to have the form of godliness tonight. We've got to know the Lord. That is our only safety tonight. Is that the Spirit of God is working in my life and in your life. That's our only hope, folks, tonight. The Scriptures are very clear. It talks about the seed and the tares growing up together. There's always been a mixed multitude. There always will be. There's a challenge to us that comes down through these Scriptures. I believe the Lord has burdened my heart about seducing spirits. Have so many things. Can do so many great things. I had a man tell me the other night, or a few weeks ago, said, "I really feel sorry for you folks at your church." He said, "I drive by there and I see just a small group of cars." And he said, "You know, over here where we go, we've got 800 members and we've got over 1,000 people on Sunday." And told me how many thousands of dollars they took up. Great things, folks. If you're looking for some great things, there's some great things out there. But Jesus talked about, said, if it were possible, it'd deceive the very elect. There's a lot of great things, but how do they live tonight? What do they accept as Christianity? What do they don't accept as Christianity? Another scripture I want to get, 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. And folks, I'm not here tonight saying that there's not good people, that there's not saved people out there. And I definitely don't believe that we're the only ones who are right. But I believe the Scriptures teach us that there's going to be seducing spirits. He said, three unclean spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. And it talked about them working miracles. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 1st verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He said, the Spirit speaketh expressly. Folks, I don't have all the Scriptures wrote down here tonight, but Jesus warned us, talked about false prophets, Matthew the 7th chapter. He said there would be false people that would rise up among yourselves to draw away disciples after them. The Scriptures are very... It said the Spirit speaketh expressly, and that means clearly. Then in the last days, there's going to be deception. Great deception that would allure. And it said some people would get heed to those deceptions. And they would depart from the faith. Folks, giving heed to a seducing spirit. And the way that it works tonight is pretty soon it gets to where the gods of this world are not quite as bad as what they one time were. Before I get ahead of myself, I want to get another scripture, Revelations, the 2nd chapter and the 18th verse. He said unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. This congregation, this person that was claiming to be a prophetess, I believe the Scripture is talking about Jezebel, referring to the Old Testament character of Jezebel, who was an idolater. Took the nation of Israel into idolatry. That was the time of Elijah. When Elijah looked around, he thought, Lord, I'm the only one left. Everybody had been following Baal. She led the country into idolatry. This congregation here, they were allowing this person to teach, and it said it was seducing the servants of God to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, folks, tonight I want to give you this thought and this burden. The enemy of our souls tonight does not care if you profess the name of Christ as long as you're bound down to some of the gods of this world that he has in place. He is more than happy for us to confess the name of Christ as long as we bow down to his idols, to his images, because he knows that it would cause us fornication, spiritual fornication, when we begin to allow our affections and our hearts to go out to the idolatries of this nation, of this country, and of this world that are being promoted, and we begin to follow suit, and we begin to give place, and we begin to lose. God tonight does not just immediately cut people off. He said, I gave her a space to repent. The Lord dealt with that person, talked to them. But as they overrode and they followed on, they became guilty. And tonight when we worship the idols of this world, the devil just loved for us to worship idols and to still confess the name of Christianity. Because it brings confusion. People don't see clearly the way of righteousness and the way of salvation. It doesn't mean that they just get to the point where they don't confess Christ. The enemy is happy for people to confess Christ as long as they're bowing to the images that he set up. And that's what we want to look at tonight. The spirits that are leading, the spirits of teaching, not just are they saying good things, but what is the manner of their life leading me to? What is the fruit of their life? Is it going to cause me to begin to bow down to the gods of this world? Is it going to cause me to begin to become less devoted and fervent in my spirit towards the Lord? That is spiritual fornication. When you read back in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, God looked down and He talked to them and He said, you're guilty of adultery. You're guilty of fornication. Not because they had left the name of the Lord out. They were still had the temple there. They were still professing. But they had other gods in place that they were serving. Folks, tonight, an idol is not just some yellow, unique thing that sits on the shelf somewhere. We understand that tonight. It's not just the pictures and the candles that people put in their homes and they bow down to and pray to. Those are idols, but that's not the only idols. This gets pretty close to all of us tonight. A career can become an idol. Following after a career, and I began to devote my time and my attention to the exclusion of what God is really calling for in my heart and my life. All of us have to work. All of us have to provide a living. All of us have to... Don't let it become your idol. Don't let it dictate to you what you do and what you don't do. Don't let it be the just all-consuming thing and the will of God just kind of draggles on behind somewhere. Folks, there are a lot of idols today that have been set up in religion, in our world today that people are bowing down to. Lord, help us tonight. Paul, in one place, he talked to a church and he said, I have such a desire to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What's he mean there, chaste virgin to Christ? A church that's pure. A people that's pure. They're devoted to God. Their thoughts are on God. Their relationship with God. The Spirit of the Lord is working in their hearts and in their lives. We want to be challenged tonight. I feel like we're living in the last times, the last days. You'll find a lot of great things out in the world. But Jesus also, He mentioned that scripture that I read earlier, talked about every spirit that confesseth. Folks, you can tell when someone has gotten saved and given their heart to the Lord, it becomes evident. They begin to bear fruit. And that's what Jesus said. He talked about the false prophets. He said, they'll come to you in sheep's clothing. He said, beware of them. And He said, you'll know them by their fruits. In the other scripture I read, He said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And I want to encourage us tonight. Doesn't mean that you have to just read the Bible and nothing else. But be careful. Be careful about the emotions. Be careful about being caught up in things that can look so good, because it can be seductive. It can lead us away from that close relationship, that communion that God wants to have with every one of us tonight. And as I mentioned just a little bit earlier, it's not enough. Folks, it's not enough just to be a part of the saints. It's not enough. We have to each one have that Spirit of God burning and living in us. And folks, that is our responsibility tonight before God, is to keep that fire. Keep that relationship. Guard it. Don't allow anything. You find yourself, something begins to become between you and God, fight against it. Guard it with jealous care. It's the most valuable thing that you have. Your salvation, your experience with God is the most valuable thing that you have. Guard it that way. Be sober, be vigilant, be watchful, be prayerful. And God will help us, folks. When He comes back, He's going to be looking for a virgin bride. A pure bride. A holy people. That are not plagued with sin in their lives. That are not plagued with the gods and the idols of this world. He's coming back for a pure bride. Lord, help us tonight to be challenged. To be encouraged. And to be watchful and prayerful. Seductive spirits that are sent to seduce and to lure us away from the simplicity that's in Christ, the simplicity in the gospel, from the fruit of having God living in us and dwelling in us. Folks, many people don't have a concept, don't understand what it means to have the Spirit of God living in their hearts and their lives. Many times all they know is religion. All they know is many times is religion. You and I have been blessed with a knowledge, with an understanding, with the truth of what salvation can do for a person and what it does. Not just 20 years ago. What it's doing in my heart and life tonight. We've been blessed with that. Let's hold on to that. Another place He said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. Pray for me.